Tonight's shiur is on this week's parsha, which is Parshas Vayechi, and the title of the shiur tonight is Justifying the Burial of Rachel. And this week's parsha, Yaakov, in talking to Yosef, he talks about the burial of Rachel. He mentions it to Yosef, and there's a reason why he mentions it, and we're going to explain what the purpose of mentioning it to Yosef is, and the concept behind Rachel not being buried in Maras Machpelah, which is really in a previous parsha, but it also applies to this week's parsha. So we look in source number one. It's Bereishis Perek Mem Ches. I'm going to read a couple of psukim. Really, the last pasuk in the source is what I want to focus the shiur on. So I'll read it inside and explain. Pasuk Aleph. Vayhi acharei hadvarim ha'ele, vayomer liyosef, hinei avicha chole, vayikach ha'shnei vanav imo, es menashe ve'es Ephraim. After some time, Yosef had heard that his father Yaakov was sick, and he took his two sons, Menashe and Ephraim, he took them to Yaakov for a bracha. Vayagid liYaakov vayomer hinei bencha Yosef ba'ilecha v'yitzchazek Yisrael v'yeshev al amita. And Yaakov, he knew that Yosef was coming with his two sons, and Yaakov summoned up the strength to sit up in the bed. He was very sick, but he got up and he was sitting up in his bed. And we're in Pasuk Gimel. Vayomer Yaakov el Yosef kel shakai niro eloi beluz be'aretz Kinan v'yavarech osi. He says to Yosef, Yaakov says to Yosef, Hashem kel shakai, he appeared to me in Luz in Eretz Kinan and he blessed me. And what was his blessing in Dalet? Vayomer Eli, hineni mafrecha v'hir bisicha unsaticha lekalamim v'nasatias arta zos l'zaracha acharecha achuzas olam. The bracha given to Yaakov from Hashem was that he would have offspring and they would grow and eventually they would get Eretz Yisrael as an inheritance. Ve'atosh nevanecha hanoladim lecha beret mitzrayim ad boi elecha mitzrayim olihem Ephraim ubnashe kiruvein v'shimon yuli. And the children that Yosef had, they would be considered Shvatim on their own right. Ephraim and Menashe would be considered like Shimon and Reuven and Shimon. We're in Vav. Umoladcha asher olata acharehem lecha yu al shem achihem yikaru b'nachalasam. And all future children that Yosef would have would fit under Menashe and Ephraim, and they would be considered the Shvatim. And now in Zion, this is the pasuk I want to focus on. He says to Yosef, V'ani bevoi mipadon, Mesa alai Rachel beretz Kanan baderech beod kivras eretz lavro afrasa vaekbereh sham baderech afras hi beis lachem. Yaakov says to Yosef, when I was coming from Padan, Rachel, my wife, died in Eretz Kanan on the way to Ephrats, and I buried her on the way to Ephrats, which is Beit Lachem, beis lachem. So Yaakov tells Yosef this information. And the question, I think the obvious question on this pasuk is that didn't Yosef know this already? Didn't Yosef know what happened with his mother? Yosef was alive when his mother died. His mother died with Binyamin. And did he not know, was he not aware that Rachel was buried on the way to Ephrat? So why is Yaakov telling Yosef at this instance that he buried Rachel in Ephrat? So in also explaining this, we're going to have to understand what the significance of burying Rachel in Ephrat was, or on the way to Ephrat, as opposed to in Maras HaMachpelah. So those are the main questions of the shiur tonight, and we're going to develop the idea through Rashi, and we'll look at our Ramban later on. So look at the first Rashi on this area. It's number two. It's on Pasuk Zayin. It says, V'ani b'voi mipadan, V'afal pi sh'ani matriach alecha l'holicheni likaver be'eret kinan v'lo kach asisi le'imcha sh'arei samach leves lechem mesa. Yaakov is saying to Yosef, even though I wasn't matriach to bury your mother in Eretz Kanan, I want you to bury me in Eretz Kanan because she died on the way to Beis Lechem and I wasn't able to bury her in Eretz Kanan, but I want you to bury me in Eretz Kanan. So Rashi's putting this in context. The context is that Yaakov had entrusted Yosef with the duty of burying him in Eretz Kanan, and he's saying to Yosef, I know that I wasn't matriach myself to bring her to Eretz Kanan, but I don't want you to do the same to me. So he's trying to explain why he didn't do that. What's strange, just from a pshat standpoint, and the Ramban mentions this, and it's important to note, really Rachel was buried in Eretz Kanan, even though Rashi says, afal pishi ani matriach alecha l'holichini likaver b'Eretz Kanan v'lo kach asisi le'imcha. The Ramban and the Sifsei Chacham point out that it's not that Rachel wasn't buried in Eretz Kanan, she was, but they say that she wasn't buried in an inhabitable area where people were, but she was buried kind of in the middle of nowhere. So when it says in Rashi that she wasn't buried in Eretz Kanan, she really was, but she wasn't buried in a popular area. So we're going to explain why that's significant. Why is it significant that Rashi and the Sifsei Chacham mention that Rachel wasn't buried in a place where there were a lot of people, but she was buried in a more desolate area. And why was Yaakov afraid that Yosef, or what did Yaakov fear that Yosef didn't know? And why was he really scared that Yosef wasn't going to bury him in Eretz Canaan? So we have to explain this a little bit deeper. What does Rashi mean that Yaakov was nervous that Yosef wouldn't bury him in Eretz Canaan like he had done to Rachel? But we really want to focus this year on why Rachel, and then we'll come back to this idea of Yosef. Why was Rachel buried not in Maros Machpelah and on the way to Ephrat? So look at number two, Rashi, it's three lines down. Kivras Eretz, Midas Eretz. It's a shear, it's an amount of mileage, I guess, of land. Vehem Alpaim Amma, it's 2,000 Amos, Kemidas Tchum Shabbos, Kedivrei Rabbi Moshe Adarshan. So Yaakov is saying that the length or the distance from him to Ephrat was 2,000 Amos, which is the same length of Tchum Shabbos. It wasn't because it was very rainy. That's not the reason why Yaakov didn't bury her in Chevron in Maros Machpelah. But it was really a dry season. It was the land was it was very hollow. It had holes in it like a sieve. Because Yaakov is saying, I think Rashi is saying that Yaakov is explaining to Yosef that it's not that I didn't bring her to Ephrat because it was rainy. No, that's not the reason, but there's another reason. And what is that reason? So Rashi is going to explain the next Rashi. What's the reason why Rachel was buried outside of Maros Machpelah on the way to Ephrat? So if you look in Ve'akbere HaShalm, Ve'lo holechtia afil lebeis lechem lachnisa la'aretz. I didn't even bring her to Beis Lechem to put her into the ground. V'yadati sheyesh belibcha alai tarumas. I know that you have complaints against me. Yaakov is saying to Yosef, I know that you're upset about the fact that I didn't even bring her to Beit Lechem. Aval dalecha shal pia dibor kivarti Hashem. But he explains that it was really from Hashem that Rachel was buried there. Shetehe le'ezra levaneha kishi yigle osam nevuzaradon. Why was she buried there? So that she would help out her children, her future children, when they were exiled by the destruction of the first temple by Nebuzaradan. V'hayu ovrim derech sham, the Jewish people, when they were exiled to Bavel, they passed by the grave of Rachel. Yotzeis Rachel al kivra uvocha, umvakeshes alehem rachamim. Rachel, she came out of her grave, and she was crying, and she was being mevakesh, she was pleading with God for mercy. Shneamar, as it says, Kol Barama Nishma Rachel Mivaka al Baneha. There's a very high, lofty voice, loud voice. Rachel, it's Rachel. She's crying over her children. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Meshiva, and Hashem responds, Yesh Sachar Lepula Seich. There is a reward for your work. Nu'um Hashem V'Shavu Banim Ligvulam. And what will happen? Eventually the Jewish people will return. So Rashi is he's quoting a Medrash. I think it's a famous Medrash. But Rashi is saying that Yaakov was explaining to Yosef, what's the reason why I buried Rachel in Beit Lechem and I didn't bury her in Chevron? The reason is because Hashem had decreed that I do this. And why? Because in the future, when Klal Yisrael were exiled by the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, they would pass by the grave of Rachel, and Rachel was there. She was crying, and she was also asking for mercy from Hashem. And Hashem responds, yes, you know, there's a benefit to your work, and eventually your children will return to Eretz Yisrael. And that's how Rashi explains it. Okay? So what's problematic? Anybody have any questions on this Rashi? What's strange about this Rashi?
What does it mean that she's going to come out of her grave to...
Good, excellent. So what does it mean that she's coming out of her grave to cry? And what exactly is she... What's her plea to Hashem? Is she just crying in general, or is it... Why and why also another question is why specifically Rachel? That's a bigger question. Why didn't all the other, well, couldn't it be any of the Avos or the Imahos? Why Rachel in specific? So two questions on this Rashi, which we'll explain. One is, what does it mean that Rachel is coming out of her grave and she's crying? She already passed away. And second of all, why did it have to be Rachel as opposed to any of the other Avos or the Imahos? Right? And this information is supposed to ease Yosef and supposed to tell Yosef something. So why is Yaakov mentioning this at this point to Yosef? So that's another question. So we have a lot of questions on the table here. Main question is, what was the idea? Why was Rachel buried not in Maros Machpelah, but rather on the way to Ephrat? And then we have this bizarre medrash that points out that Rachel, the reason for this is that in the future, in the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, when the Jewish people are exiled to Bavel, they're going to pass by the grave, and Rachel, as they're passing by, is going to be crying about them, and Hashem's going to respond to her pleading to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what's the nature of her pleading to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of her pleas? And furthermore, what does it mean that she's coming out of her grave to cry? She already passed away. So those are all the questions. And what's the concept behind this? Okay. So why don't everybody, I want everybody to think about this, but I want to go a little bit further. I think we have to look in the actual Medrash itself, and it goes into more detail in Yirmiyahu as to what the nature of her bakasha was to Hashem, and what was unique about Rachel's bakasha. And then also we'll try to explain why Rachel could be buried outside of Maras HaMachpelah, and why it was important that she be buried outside of Maras HaMachpelah. So if we look at number 3 in Yirmiyahu, we should look at the whole pasuk. It says, it's Yirmiyahu, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yidalet. Ko Amar Hashem, Kol Berama Nishma, Nihi Bechi, or Bechi Samarim, Rachel Mevaka Albaneha, Me'aneha, O Me'ana Lihinachem Albaneha, Ki Enenu. So a voice is heard on high, weeping. She refuses to be comforted for her children, they are not. This is a reference to Rachel. So if we look in what's going on here, if we look in Rashi, number 4, skip down to 3 lines down. It says, Rachel mevaka al baneha. Medrash agada, amar, the Medrash says, this is more detailed, shahalchu avos v'imahos lefayes es HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the avos and the imahos, they all went to appease Hashem. Al shehamid menashe demus behechal, because Menashe, who is a melech over, he ended up putting an idol in the heichal in the Beis Hamikdash. The lonis bayis, but they were not. He was not appeased. Hashem was not appeased by all the avos and the imahos. Nichnasa Rachel. Rachel came in. Umra, she said lefanav. She said to Hashem, Ribono shel olam, rachami mi merubim, rachamecha o rachame basar vidam. She said to Hashem, whose mercy is greater, your mercy or the mercy of a human being? Haviomer rachamecha merubim. You would say, or the answer should be, that Hashem's rachamim, his mercy is greater. Vahalo ani hichnasti tsarasi besoch besi. Rachel says back to Hashem, I allowed my tsara, my sister wife, Leah, who is her tsara, besoch besi, I allowed her to come into my house. Shekol avoda she'avod Yaakov es avi lo avod ela bishvili. All the work that Yaakov had done for my father was for me. Kishabati likanis lechuppah, when I went to the chuppah, hechnisu esachosi, I allowed my sister to come in, Leah. The lo dai shasakti, it's not enough that I kept quiet, el shemasarti lo simoni, I gave her my signs. Afata, so too, by Hashem, im hechnisu banecha tsarascha beveischa, if your children have allowed an idol to be in your bias, you know, your tsara, your adversary, to be in your bias, your Beis HaMikdash, shasuk lehem, be quiet. Amar la, he said back, Yafe lamat sangoria, you defended Klal Yisrael well, yesh schar lepulaseich letzidkaseich shemasart simaneich lachoseich. There is a benefit and there is a reward for everything that you've done, that you've given your simanim to Leah. So can somebody help me out here? Does anybody remember what the story was with Rachel? What happened with Rachel and Leah over there? What does the Medrash tell us about Rachel and Leah? Somebody on the phone line. Anybody know the Medrash or the Gemara about Rachel and Leah? So the Medrash says that Rachel was supposed to be married to Yaakov. Yaakov really worked for Rachel, and she saw that Leah was going to fall into the lot of Esav, if not for the fact. And Leah really wanted to be part of Klal Yisrael. She wanted to be married to Yaakov. So what did Rachel do? This is what she's saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She let in her tzara, you know, her adversary, somebody that she would fight with. Because she did. She felt a lot of jealousy with Leah. But she allowed her into her house. And that was mercy. And so too, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mercy is greater than the mercy of a human being, so too, the fact that Klal Yisrael, or Menashe, put a tzelem in the Beis HaMikdash, he should be quiet. Just like I was quiet when my tzara came into my house. And I allowed my tzara to come into my house. Meaning Leah. So Rachel, the reasoning behind this medrash, it's a little bit more detailed, but it still needs to be explained. the idea of her being Mavakish Rachamim is more specific. She's doing a specific, or giving a specific plea. And what is that plea? That just like I allowed Leah to come into my home, and I was quiet, not only was I quiet, but I even facilitated it, so too, you should act the same way towards Klal Yisrael. What's the comparison between the two cases? They're very different cases. In one case, it seems like Rachel was doing the right thing. She was really looking out for Leah. But over here, the Jewish people, they did something terrible. They brought a tzelem into the Mikdash. So why should Hashem be quiet? What does it mean that Hashem should be quiet? And what's the comparison between the rachamim of Rachel and the rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Okay, is everything clear? Does anybody want me to explain it again or just go over it again?
Can you say the last thing again?
Yeah, sure. So there's two parts to the Medrash. One is the Rashi and Chumash, and the other is the Rashi and Yirmiyahu. So the Rashi and Chumash says the reason why Rachel and Yaakov is telling this to Yosef, why was Rachel buried outside of Maras Machpelah? The reason why is for a specific purpose, that in the future, when Klal Yisrael were exiled by the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, they passed by the grave, and Rachel was crying. She was crying on behalf of Klal Yisrael, and what ends up happening is Hashem listens to her cries. And then if we look in Yirmiyahu, it gives us more specific detail. What was the nature of her plea to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That all the other Avos and the Imahos, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, you know, Leah, you know, Rivka, Sarah, they all went to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they all asked Hashem to have mercy on the Jewish people at that time, and none of them were successful. The only person, individual, who was successful was Rachel. And how did she succeed? She made an argument to Hashem that just like I was quiet, not only quiet, but I even facilitated allowing Leah, my tzara, my adversary, into my house, and I had rachamim on her, I had mercy, so too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the fact that the Jewish people, Menashe, put a tzelem, put an idol in the Beis HaMikdash, you should be quiet as well and have mercy on the Jewish people and ignore the fact that there's an idol in the Beis HaMikdash. So that is the Medrash. But what is unique, we have to understand the Medrash. What's the nature of Rachel's plea? What's she really trying to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And how do you compare the two cases? What's the comparison between Rachel allowing Leah into her house? Leah was a tzadekes, versus Hashem dismissing the idea of Klal Yisrael bringing a tzelem into the Beis HaMikdash. So how do you compare the two?
Question.
Sure.
But this was when the Jewish people were exiled, though, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what the Medrash says.
The effect of the mercy, they're already exiled, so they're already, did their situation improve?
What do you mean? This is the first Beis HaMikdash, when they were exiled, and they ended up coming back after. Yeah, well, that's what the pasuk says after. It says Yesh Sachar LePulaseich Neum Hashem B'Shavu Banim LeGvulam. That eventually they'll return to Eretz Yisrael. But this was the exile to Bavel by Nebuzaradan. But that's the point of the Medrash is that Rachel was successful in her plea for Klal Yisrael, and because of her plea for Klal Yisrael, that's why they were able to return to Eretz Yisrael, and that it wasn't an exile forever. But what's the, I just want to understand, if anybody can explain to me, what's the nature of her plea? How is she comparing her letting Leah into her house to a Kaddish Baruch Hu having Rachamim on Klal Yisrael? So I want to hold off on answering those questions, but it's really the focus of the shir. But I want to also, and we'll come to the first answer or the first idea in the shir, I want to understand why Rachel, which is the main question, why was Rachel buried outside of Maras Machpelah? And I think there's something about Rachel's personality that was unique to her that allowed her to be buried outside of Maras Machpelah. And then we'll look and we'll delve into the nature of the plea of Rachel and what this medrash before in Rashi, that in the future the Jewish people will be exiled and she'll be Mispala. What does that have to do with everything? So let's go on a little bit. Look at number 6. Number 5 is just the pasuk. I just quoted the next pasuk in Yirmiyahu, where Hashem says back to Rachel that there's a benefit, there's a schar for your work, for your tefillah, and therefore they will eventually return from the enemy's land. The Ibn Ezra, number 6, he has a similar pshat to Rashi. He says, V'tam ba'ani b'voimi padon, shemesa pisom, that Rachel died very suddenly. V'lo yacholti l'holicha l'kavra b'ma'ara. I wasn't able to bury her in Maras HaMachpelah kasher kavarti Leah, as I had done to Leah. The Amar Zeli Yosef, why did he say this to Yosef? Shelo yichar lecha sha'avakesh mi'itecha ma shelo asisi lechavod imcha. Similar to Rashi, that Yosef shouldn't be upset that Yaakov is requesting that he do something that Yaakov hadn't done for his mother. So it's the same, I just brought in this Ibn Ezra, because a lot of the Mefarshim have the same idea as Rashi. Rashi's not a yachid, he's not an individual, but all the Mefarshim have a similar type of explanation, that that Yaakov was afraid that Yosef had some type of problem with Rachel being buried outside of Maros Machpelah. So we have to understand what the problem that Yosef had was, what was his problem, and why was she buried there, which is the main question of this year. So let's just understand, just maybe a little bit, let's go back a little bit, and let's just understand the nature of Rachel's personality and why she was able to be buried, or why it was necessary for her to be buried in Maros Machpelah as opposed to any of the other Avos and the Imahos. So if you look at number 7, and this I remembered doing this medrash. If you look at number 7, as soon as Yaakov meets Rachel, the famous story that Rachel was shepherding her father Lavan's tzon, and she meets up with Yaakov by the well, and she went to the well in order to give drink to her cattle. And in look at number 7, it says, as soon as Yaakov meets Rachel, his first response is Vayishak Yaakov l'Rachel, Vayisas kolo vayevk. That Yaakov, he hugged Rachel, and he let out a big cry. Now, what's the meaning of this cry? If you look at Rashi in number 8, it's a famous medrash also, Vayevk, on that very pasuk, it's Perichav Tes Pasuk Yir Aleph, Lefi shetzipa baruch hakodesh she'ena nechneses imo lekfura. That Yaakov understood at that moment, the very moment that he met her, and that he had hugged her, at that moment also he saw that he wouldn't be buried with her. Now, how could he possibly know? I mean, it says Ruach HaKodesh, but why is that idea being present and why is it being presented to us at this point? At the very start of the relationship between Yaakov and Rachel, he knew that he wouldn't be buried with her? Why is that important and significant? And why must that be the case? Why did Hashem reveal this to Yaakov at this point? So that's one question. We're going to answer this very soon. So I think that actually, let's answer it right now, unless anybody else has a possibility. Anybody on the phone line have a possibility? What does it mean that at the very beginning of the relationship between Yaakov and Rachel, he saw that he wouldn't be buried with her? Why is that the case? I think that the Pasuk and the Medrash, and this is the first step, is revealing something about Rachel's personality that was unique. And what was that? It was that Rachel was very independent. She was a very independent person, independent from anybody else, independent from Yaakov. And we see that, you see that from the very start of their relationship, because Rachel, as opposed to Leah, Rachel was the one who was shepherding Lavan's son. And if you look at the story back there, all the other shepherds were men, and she was basically the only female, and she goes out and she's shepherding the son of Lavan. So you see from the very start that Rachel was fearless, but she was also independent, that she did things on her own, and she wasn't really, you know, she wasn't really subject to anybody. And you see this in a lot of places that she was independent. One place that you see her independence is in allowing Leah into her household. Because had she consulted with Yaakov, Yaakov would have said, no, this is a bad idea. In fact, why did Yaakov give Rachel the simanim? Because he knew that Lavan was going to try to trick him. So you see that Rachel, she acted independent of Yaakov. So one idea, from the very start of the relationship, it was clear to Yaakov and it was told to him that she was independent, she was an independent person, and you see that from the fact that she's shepherding Lavan's son. There was no, it says, the Medrash says that Lavan had boys after the fact, but the fact that she's doing it shows or demonstrates her independence, and that was Nikar in the first Rashi. As soon as they meet, he cries because he recognized that independence. And you see the independence played out by Rachel and Leah. That Yaakov, had she consulted with Yaakov and had she told Yaakov this is what's going on, Yaakov would of course said no. Leah should. In fact, that's the whole reason why Yaakov gave Rachel the signs. But Rachel acts independently of Yaakov and she makes her own decision, and it turned out to be the right decision. But we see there's another place where Rachel's independence is actually harmful. If you look in Bereishis in Perek Lamed Aleph, she steals the trophim of Lavan. She steals the idols of Lavan when they're escaping. And in number 9, in the Psukim, it says, "Im asher timtzas elokecha lo yeched neged achinu haker lecha ma'imadi v'kach lecha v'lo yada Yaakov ki Rachel ginavatam." What happened was that Lavan was looking for his idols, and Yaakov gets very frustrated. And he says, nobody took the idols, and whoever took the idols, he curses them. And he didn't know that Rachel stole them. And if you look in Rashi over there, in number 10, it says, Lo yechia umi'osa klala mesa Rachel baderach. Because of Yaakov's curse, Rachel had died on the path, baderach. So also over here, what's the meaning of this? What does it mean that Yaakov cursed Rachel? And how did that curse cause Rachel to die? And what was so bad about what Rachel did? So over here, you see the negative to being independent from Yaakov. That Rachel, the problem with Rachel, and I've done this in the past, this area, but the issue with Rachel stealing the Trophim is that she should have consulted with Yaakov. That by stealing the Trophim, she really put Klal Yisrael in a dangerous situation. Lavan was a madman. He was capable of destroying Klal Yisrael. And because Rachel had acted independently from Yaakov, and she did not tell Yaakov that she had stolen the Trophim from Lavan, because of that, she put Klal Yisrael at risk. And that's why she died. That was her big sin, and that's why she deserved to be punished. So I'm just trying to demonstrate through the psukim over here, and the Rashi's on the psukim, that one unique factor to Rachel's relationship and Rachel's personality was that she was independent, and you see that she had an extreme independence from Yaakov, that from the very start of their relationship, Rashi points out that she would not be buried with him. And also you see that she decided to allow Leah into her family without consulting with Yaakov, which is a very independent from my husband type of decision. And you see later on, she steals the Trophim from Lavan, which it's a sin, and she's ultimately punished for, but she steals the Trophim from Lavan without consulting with Yaakov. So once again, you see the nature of Rachel's personality was that she was independent from Yaakov. So how does that, so why am I bringing this in? What's the purpose of, yeah, go ahead. That is true. You mean Rivka over there? Rivka, yeah. She did go.
She had the dream.
Right. She did. That is true. That is true. I mean, I don't want to. Maybe you're right. Maybe Rivka was independent, but I think that there's something unique about Rachel that to her independence. But it's a good point. You're right. There are situations. There are situations where Sarah is independent from Avraham, but I'm not saying that it's only Rachel. But I'm just pointing out that you see a lot of scenarios where the Torah brings down Rachel acting without her husband's advice, and she's kind of dissociated from Yaakov in certain situations. But it's a good question. I can't answer the question about Rivka and Sarah too at some points. But I think this was something that really characterized Rachel. But the reason why I'm bringing this in is I'm trying to explain, now I think we can explain at least why Rachel was the one to be buried alone. See, why was she buried alone? Because she was buried alone because it wasn't necessary for her because of that independence, because of her personality, it was necessary to, or she could benefit, and the ideals that she represented could benefit even apart from the other avos. See, by all the other avos, by Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Sarah, Rivka, and Leah, they all were buried together to demonstrate, to demonstrate the perfection of their own lives, and to teach people about their own lives through visiting the grave, but also there are units. But Rachel, because of Rachel's independence, because she was able to act independently of Yaakov, she was also able to be buried independently of the Avos and of Yaakov, and she was able to be seen and viewed in an independent fashion. So that's what I want to. That's how I want to explain, based on the Rashi's and the Psukim, that's how I want to explain why it was appropriate for Rachel to be buried with Yaakov. Okay? It's also the other thing about Rivka. Yes, Rivka was independent, but she was really Yitzchak's only wife, and she really had to be buried with Yitzchak. Whereas Yaakov had two wives. He had Leah and Rachel, and Rachel was by far more independent than Leah. But you definitely see that independence in her decision making. And in one place, in one situation, it was beneficial in bringing Leah in, but in another place, it was actually harmful in not consulting with Yaakov about stealing Lavan's Trophim. Okay, so that's really that's one point. The first point in the shir is that Rachel was able to be buried outside of Maaseh Machpelah because of the fact that she had an independent personality, one that was separate from her husband, from Yaakov, and therefore also separate from the other Avos and the Imavos. But let's go back to the Medrash and try to explain what's going on here. How do we understand that Rachel is crying for her children, and what's the nature of her plea to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So if you go back, whenever you try to understand the Medrash, I think the best approach is, based on a lot of the Rishonim, is that you can't take it literally, but it's trying to express an idea. And the idea over here is that as the people, as Klal Yisrael, were passing by the grave, the concept is that they should relate to a specific, that this idea in Rachel should help the people and help, you know, elevate their level as they're being exiled. So what's the idea that's being expressed about Rachel that they should understand? So the idea that Rachel is expressing is about Rachamim, as Rashi says in Yirmiyahu. That really, the idea of the Rachamim of Rachel, as opposed to Rachamim of most Bas Vedam, is that Rachel's Rachamim did not take into account her own personal feelings, her own personal strife with Leah. So that's one key point. As opposed to most people. Most people feel Rachamim, but the Rachamim can only come about if they feel a certain satisfaction, a certain happiness, and a certain comfort with the decision. But Rachel, she didn't feel a comfort with the decision. Her Rachamim was separate from her own personal emotions, her own personal situation, because you see that after the fact, it was very hard for her. She had to live with Leah. She was constantly competing with Leah. So the Rachamim of Leah was unique. Of Rachel was unique in the sense that it didn't involve the personal emotions. And the other idea of the Rachamim of Rachel is that Rachel was able to see the opposite possibility as to what would happen to Leah. In other words, why did Rachel want Leah to be in her family? Because she saw that if Leah had not, she would be married to Esau. That's what the Medrash says. So the idea is that the Rachamim of Rachel was a unique Rachamim. It was a Rachamim that was similar, that was domet to the Rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was a Rachamim that wasn't based on personal emotions, personal satisfaction, comfort, because Rachel didn't feel that way. And it was also a Rachamim about considering all the other possibilities. It wasn't a Rachamim based on the present, but it was also considering the alternative. And the alternative was a lot worse. So the idea that is represented over here, and that the idea that the people have to see and utilize in their tefillos as they're being exiled, is that they have to try to plead to make the same bakasha to Hashem. They have to recognize that the rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unique in this way, and they have to access that through their tefillos. So to put everything together, hopefully this makes sense to everybody. But to put everything together, it's not that Rachel literally was crying, but it was that Rachel really was able to teach the people as they were being exiled to Bavel an idea about the Rachamim of Hashem. And only Rachel was able to teach this idea because she was the only one of the Avos Ne'imos who demonstrated this idea. And what is that concept? The concept of Rachamim is that of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that it's not a Rachamim that's based on personal emotions as opposed to most people. And it wasn't a Rachamim. It was a Rachamim that could consider the alternative possibility, a worse possibility. Meaning it could be worse. There could be something worse than bringing a tzelem into the mikdash. And that's the idea that Rachel saw. Rachel saw, oh, there could be something worse to Leah not being in my family. And what was that? That she would be married to Esau. So the same thing, it's the same idea in the Rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That man, that the people, as they're being exiled, they really had to recognize this. And because they were able to recognize this through Rachel and through referencing the idea of Rachel, that's why they warranted, you know, returning to the land. So the point of the Medrash is one where it's telling us that Rachel was the only one of the Avos Ne'imos to represent this idea to the people and to inspire the people to access and to recognize this unique concept in Rachamim Hashem, in mercy of Hashem. Okay, any questions? Is that clear? Feedback? Phone line? Anybody? Yeah, go ahead.
That's good. I wanted to share like a kind of, I don't know if it's like an opposite explanation that I heard.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sort of an opposite, but why Rachel and Yaakov couldn't be buried together just really quick, it was because the explanation was that because he loved her so much, and the relationship of the avos wouldn't be like that kind of a love wouldn't be a good representation of what the avos were about.
Okay, that could be.
And it's kind of like it also fits like yours, but it also has some problems.
Yeah, it's interesting, but yeah, you can ask the same question on the other avos and the imahos that they definitely loved each other, so it was very strong love.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. I'm saying the exact opposite. I'm saying that it's really
love and it's,
yeah. I'm saying it's the exact opposite.
Yeah, you're right. I mean.
Yeah. Okay. So just that's a good possibility. We're gonna see one other possibility in the Ramban, but I also want to explain why Yosef in specific. Why do you have to tell Yosef this? So also, I was looking through the Rashis. I'm trying to be consistent and only using Rashi over here. So I was looking at some of the Rashis by Yosef, and there's two Rashis that stuck out. One is, if you look in 11 on the source sheet, it says, Vatar vatelet bein vatomer asaf elokim escher pasi. When Rachel had Yosef, she named him Yosef because she said asaf elokim escher pasi, which means that God has taken away my shame. If you look in Rashi over there, he says, Cher pasi, shayisi lecherpa shani akara. I was in shame because I was barren. I didn't have any children. And they were saying about me that I'm going to eventually be married to Esav HaRasha. So over there, even in the birth of Yosef and the naming of Yosef, there's an idea that, and I'll put it together, that Rachel is now, she's no longer looked at or viewed as an Akara, and she's not in the chelek of Esav HaRasha. What does that mean? I'll explain in a second. And then if you look at number 13, there's a unique situation by Yosef and Rachel over here when they're approaching Esav in Zion in number 13. It's Perek Lamed Gimel Pasuk Zion. Vatigash gam Leah v'iladeah v'yishtachavu v'achar nigash Yosef v'rachel v'yishtachavu. So Leah and her children, they ended up bowing down to Esav, and then afterwards Yosef and Rachel bowed down to Esav. What was going on there? If you look at number 14, he says in Zion on that Rashi on that pasuk, Bekulon ha'imahos nigashos lifnei habanim. All of the mothers went before their children, their boys. Aval b'Rachel, Yosef nigash lefaneh. By Rachel, Yosef went before Rachel. Amar, he said, Imi yifas toar. My mother is beautiful. Shema yitle ba einav oso rasha. Maybe Esav will, like a tractor beam. He'll try to reel her in. Emod kinegda, I'm going to stand in front of her, ve'ekvenu melistakel, but I'm not going to let Esav stare at my mother. Mikan zachal Yosef uvirkas ali ayin. And that's why Yosef was zoche, he merited this bracha of ali ayin later on in Vayechi. So you see that in two places, also over here, you see two unique factor or features of Yosef's relationship with Rachel. He was very responsible and very protective over Rachel's legacy. You see that when Yosef's born, the very idea in his birth and his being named is that he's protecting her from being with Esav HaRasha. I don't know if it was literally with Esav HaRasha or just being seen as not as perfected. But also later on, he protects her from Esav again. It says Yosef was the one to stop Esav from looking at her. He had a protective relationship over his mother. He didn't want his mother's legacy, his mother's perfection, his mother's spirituality to be anywhere or ever thought of as in a negative way or ever thought of as less than great. And Yosef really took on that responsibility. That was his personality. And you see it from these two Rashis, the fact that in his birth, that's why he's named. And also later on, when they're meeting Esav, he stands in front of his mother. As opposed to all the other children, he had a unique relationship with his mother in the sense that he felt like it was his duty to protect her and to protect her legacy and her greatness. So this gives us a little background into what's going on in our Parsha. So Yaakov understood this about Yosef. Yaakov understood that Yosef really was trying to protect his mother's legacy. And he really thought, Yosef believed that by not having her buried in Maras Machpelah, it was an embarrassment. It took away from Rachel's greatness. And Yaakov, at this point in his life, he had to show Yosef that no, that there's a reason why Rachel was buried alone, that she was capable, and she was only the only one of the Avos and the Imahos because of her independence, that she was able to be buried alone, and also because of the idea later on that she would inspire the children, her children, the future of Klal Yisrael, and they were being exiled. That idea also demanded that she be buried apart from the other Avos and the Imahos. So the Rashis give us a little bit of background. They show us that Yosef had a very protective relationship with his mother, more so than the other, you know, brothers, and in the sense that he wanted to protect her from being connected to Esav. He wanted to protect her greatness, and that's why it bothered him that she was buried separately. But Yaakov is pointing out a uniqueness to Rachel's greatness, a uniqueness to Rachel's personality that the other Avos and Imos didn't possess, and that's why she was buried separately, and there was a benefit, a specific benefit, in terms of inspiring Klal Yisrael to be mispalel and to work on themselves and end up coming back to Eretz Yisrael. So that is really, that's Rashi. Just one more point in the shir, the Ramban. The Ramban has a little bit of a different idea as to why Rachel wasn't buried there. So look at number 15 in the Ramban. And this will be the last point in the shir. He says, "Valderach pshat gam kain amar lo kain kemes natzel." The pshat is that Yaakov was apologizing to Yosef. Shlo yichar li Yosef, that Yosef shouldn't be upset. Biros cheftzo bikvuras amara al shalo kavar imosham. Same as Rashi, that Yosef shouldn't be upset because he hadn't buried Rachel in Maras Machpelah. The kasher kavar sham as Leah. And he did bury Leah there. Ulechach amar lo ki mesa be'aretz Kanaan v'lo nikbara b'chutz la'aretz kasher tiyek v'uras Mitzrayim li'akov u'mesa b'aderech b'fesa pisom v'lo yachol le'kavra sham. So he explains to Yosef in the pshat that he just didn't have an opportunity to bury her in Maras HaMachpelah because she died very suddenly. Ki eich yazov es bana ves mikneo b'aderech. He couldn't just abandon his children and his cattle. V'yelech mehera ima l'maras HaMachpelah v'ayeh harofim v'harofos. Also, he couldn't embalm her. So he basically, according to the Ramban, the pshat is that Yaakov is telling Yosef practically it was impossible for him to do it. He couldn't leave his children and his cattle, and he didn't have a way of preserving her body, so he just didn't have an opportunity. V'zetam alai. V'afal pisha maras ha-machpelah ena rechulka misham rak ha-chati yom. Even though maras ha-machpelah, Chevron, is not very far, it's only half day. Haya Yaakov kaved me'od ba-mekneh gadol uvnei bayis v'lo yagiyu sham rak b'yamim rabim. Because he had a lot of cattle and a lot of individuals, it would take him a long time. V'chein asa b'derech ahu yamim rabim ad bo el aviv v'shanu chacham b'lo sham nashim v'olam b'pnei ha-kavu. So the pshat, according to the Ramban, is that Yaakov is explaining that practically he couldn't take her to Maras HaMachpelah. It was too dangerous for him and his family. But now he gives a different answer. Vani Savor, Shahayu Elu Divrei Hisnatzlus. That now the Ramban's saying that it's my svara, it's my theory that Yaakov was apologizing. V'gam Yosef Yodea Shemesa Baderech V'nikba Ba'aretz. Yosef knew this fact that Rachel was buried there. The chavod asa la b'mosa, and it wasn't degrading, but rather Yaakov was mechabed his mother. Aval kavana li Yaakov shelo holich osa la ma'ara. Why didn't Yaakov take her to the ma'ara? Kidei shelo yikaver sham shte achios, so that in the Maras HaMachpelah you didn't have two sisters buried there. Ki yavosh me'avosav, it would be like an embarrassment. V'leah hi haniseis lo rishona beheter. Leah was the one who was married to him first beheter. V'rachel b'havaso osa v'neder asher nader lo lacha. And Rachel, he married her because he loved her and he had a neder to take her. Okay, so the Ramban gives a different idea. Why wasn't Rachel buried in Maras HaMachpelah according to the Ramban? She wasn't buried there because of the idea of achos, that it wouldn't be proper to have two sister wives being buried in Maras HaMachpelah. It was a negative. So what is this? What is this concept? What's the concept the Ramban is pointing out? So just to elaborate on the Ramban, I think the Ramban is saying that the purpose of Maras HaMachpelah is that people visit and they reflect on the greatness of the Avos and the Imahos. And the idea is that if you put something in there that's a negative, it may take away from the ability of the Maras HaMachpelah to function as an inspiration, to function as a proper reflection on the lives of the Avos and the Imahos. So the Ramban is pointing out that it had to be that Leah was buried and not Rachel. Because if Rachel and Leah were both buried there, if you went to Maras HaMachpelah, you would think about that point. And it would take away from the greatness and the great lives of the Avos and the Imahos. Especially the fact that Rachel and Leah had a contentious relationship at times. And that's not something that you want to reflect on and that you want to think about when you visit their graves. You want to think about their greatness and all the great things that they did. So the idea that Ramban is saying, I think, is that Yaakov understood the purpose of Maras HaMachpelah, that the purpose was to visit the Avos and the Imahos and to reflect on their great spiritual level and to be inspired by them. And had both Rachel and Leah been buried there, it would have taken away from that, or the function of Maras HaMachpelah. So Ramban's giving a different idea, a different concept. So that's really the shir tonight. Let me just summarize the points in the shir. Really, we looked at Rashi, and at the end we looked at the Ramban. Now, why was Rachel buried outside of Maras HaMachpelah, and why was Yaakov telling Yosef this fact at this point? Didn't Yosef know this? So we explained everything. Really, Rachel was buried, according to Rashi, outside of Maras HaMachpelah, because she was very independent, and her personality lent itself to being independent from the Avos and the Imahos and being buried separately. And there was a specific idea that in her independence, which was a positive in letting Leah come into her household, that she really demonstrated rachamim on a higher level than just a human being, a normal human being, a rachamim that could inspire the people to understand the rachamim of Hashem on a deeper level. And that's why she was buried outside of Maras Machpelah. Now, why did this have to be told to Yosef? Because of Yosef's personality, because he was very protective over his mother's legacy, and he really didn't understand this point. And at this point, Yaakov is trying to explain to him that it's really a great thing because of Rachel's greatness that she was buried outside of Maras Machpelah. And then the last point is the Ramban. The Ramban's giving a different shot, and he's saying that you can't have two sister wives being buried in Maras Machpelah, I believe because Yaakov understood the purpose of the Ma'ara, and in the future, the Klal Yisrael would visit the Ma'ara and be inspired by it, and you don't want to have any part of the Maras Machpelah take away from reflecting on their greatness. And the fact that you have two sister wives was a negative, and it was something that could be perceived as a negative, so it had to be that it wasn't set up like that, that the Ma'ara wasn't set up like that. So that's really the Parsha Shir for this week. So I just want to wish everybody a good Shabbos. Does anybody have any questions on the Shir? Or I want to add anything to the Shir?
Well, just that the end, that the fact that saying that they have to be separated, it
yeah.
still ends to the question of why Rachel versus Leah.
Right. That's what he says. He says because Leah was married Beheter. That's what the Ramban says. Rachel, because Leah was married first, and Rachel was really a problem.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the reason why. So that's a different shot. But yeah, I definitely think that Rashi is focused. I think Rashi for sure is definitely, and also if you look in the Psukim, I think it's clear that independence of Rachel was a positive and a negative, but also, I think it also gives credence to the idea that she was able to be buried separate and alone. Okay, so everybody have a good Shabbos.
I thought it would make more sense because he has control over it.
What'd you say?
I